I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. My apologies, this is not good news for men who feel that their penis is too small and wish they could make it bigger. There's a new study that came out. It's a meta-analysis where they looked at 1,192 men in 17 different studies that had a total of 21 surgical and non-surgical procedures to enhance their penis size. It was published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine Reviews. And I've known a number of men who had small penises that were really bothered by it. They really wished that their penis could be larger. They wished there was a pill or a cream or a pump or something that would work. And sadly, there isn't. Now, a penis pump, will plump up your penis a bit. It can help you achieve a stronger erection for a little longer, but it's not really going to make your penis bigger. So what methods are they using? Well, there's a procedure that used the vacuum device. That does not increase size. That was in the study. There's the injectables that increase girth. They actually do work, but they have an extremely high complication, high enough to make you think twice before attempting it. And then there's extenders, but they increase the length about 0.79 inches, not a big boost. Then we get to the surgical treatments. Now there's suspensory ligament incision, tissue grafting, dermal fat and penile disassembly. That one just makes me shudder. And in all of those, some of the men reported a significant size increase, but none of the techniques were verified successful by other parties, and complications were fairly frequent. So right now, as it stands, there's no scientific evidence that any of the current methodologies work, with the very worst options in terms of problems that you might have are injectables and surgery. They are probably the last thing you should be doing. This doesn't mean that it's always going to be this way, but for now, sorry, sad to say, there's just nothing that will work. Now, last week we talked about the bad science that seems to be at the core of almost everything the anti-choice community does. And remember, we're talking science here because, you know, it's biology that's involved here. That is one of the sciences, and that is what pregnancy and abortion and all that stuff is about. Science is a big part of that, which is a problem for people who are essentially science deniers. So let's take a look at the many, many irrational things coming out of the mouths of some of the politicians who were behind this. There's Alabama State Senator Clyde Chambliss. He was one of the bill sponsors in Alabama for their anti-abortion bill. He argued on the Senate floor. He actually said this. These words came from his mouth. He said that the abortion ban would only affect women when they are known to be pregnant. Try to wrap your head around that. What he's saying is that you should get an abortion when you don't know you're pregnant, I guess. That's nuts. But here's some more from Chambliss. I'm not trained medically, so I don't know the proper medical terminology and timelines, but from what I've read, what I've been told, there's some period of time before you can know a woman is pregnant. He continued that under the bill, a woman can still end her pregnancy up until the point she is known to be pregnant. No one this dumb should have any responsibility in deciding what women do with their bodies, period. And then Chambliss said, I don't know if I'm smart enough to be pregnant, so I appreciate the wisdom of our Heavenly Father. You cannot get pregnant, you moron. And we mentioned before that Ohio State Representative John Becker introduced a bill prohibiting insurance coverage for abortion, but it does allow insurance companies to cover a procedure for an ectopic pregnancy that is intended to reimplant the fertilized ovum into the pregnant woman's uterus. And we reported on this last week. And of course, there is no such procedure. So where did he get that crazy idea? Is this some kind of new science that's on the cutting edge that those of us who try to follow science haven't heard about? Well, believe it or not, Becker actually had some science. Because a health researcher, reproductive health researcher, Dr. Daniel Grossman, challenged him. That said, that's not a scientific anything. So Becker supplied him with a scientific paper about a doctor claiming to have successfully re-implanted a single ectopic pregnancy, leading to full-term pregnancy and birth. Remarkable if true, but still not a big deal if it was only been done once so far. We need multiple examples to really understand it. But no one has been able to repeat this amazing feat, and they've had plenty of time, because the original paper was published in 1917. 1917. Oh, he also had a letter from someone who claimed that he had witnessed such a procedure in 1980, but not backed up by anything. So, two examples that can't really be verified in the past 100 years. But it doesn't surprise me that these Republicans are getting their science from the turn of the last century. Now, to be fair, I don't think they want to turn women's rights back to the turn of the last century. I think they'd rather go back to before 1848 in Seneca Falls. Well, here's a great bit of science. This genius idea comes from Idaho State Representative Vito Barbieri, and he had this brilliant idea. He was interviewing a doctor testifying before the State Affairs Committee, and he said, well, couldn't a woman just have a remote gynecological exam by swallowing a tiny camera? And not surprisingly, he is a board member at a crisis pregnancy center where knowing science is completely unrelated to that task. And the doctor had to explain to this guy that, you know, the digestive system does not connect to the vagina. You don't crap or pee literally out of the womb. But this guy somehow didn't know that. I'm guessing because he's never been that close to a vagina, at least with the lights on. And there's interesting new research about the efficacy of ultrasounds, not to do anything useful, but as a tool to persuade women to not have an abortion. So here's the study. They analyzed over 15,575 visits to a large urban abortion provider. All of the patients received an ultrasound before continuing with the procedure, and all of them were given the opportunity to look at the image. Most patients chose not to look. 42% of them did look, and among that 42%, 98% of them went on to have an abortion anyway. So, based on this study, and I suspect that other follow-up studies will find the same thing, but the researchers concluded that such viewing does not alter decisions of the large majority of women who are certain that abortion is the right decision. And there have been smaller studies that have found the same thing. In 2012, University of California researchers also did a study, and they concluded that women's emotional responses to seeing an ultrasound can vary, but those emotions ultimately don't lead them to cancel their abortion appointment. We've also seen other studies that show that 87% of women are highly confident about their decision to have an abortion because they are adult women, not infants. And they found that all these little things that they do to try to keep women from having an abortion, like forced waiting periods, mandatory counseling sessions, and, of course, the ultrasounds, they don't work. They don't change women's mind. A full 90% of women say their primary reaction to ending a pregnancy is relief, and they report that they don't regret their decision. So all the talk about, you know, trauma over having an abortion is just made-up bullshit. There's been study after study after study that shows that none of that is true. Yes, a woman could have problems if, like, her church finds out and they're bullying her about having an abortion, and her family's telling her she's going to go to hell. Yeah, she could have some psychological problems, but it comes from the way the people around her are treating her, not from how she feels about the abortion itself. So all the science that we have shows it's not easy to dissuade women from having an abortion if that's what they want to have. And they're certainly, when it's not available legally, are going to turn to illegal methods, even if those methods put their lives and health at risk. I have seen no evidence yet that this is anything that the anti-choice crowd cares about. They don't seem to care about women's bodies, except in that they want to control them. They don't seem to care about the children once they're born. They just want to make sure that those women have those babies. Maybe as punishment for having sex, maybe as punishment for being related to Eve. Who knows? But all the things that they do accomplish nothing but hurt.